All right. Kalos orisete, kali chronia. It's wonderful to see everybody here, new faces and some repeat faces. And this is my baby, my grandbaby Lazarus, and his daddy sitting over there. So this is a really great surprise tonight, and I hope you've all been finding something to eat. And I do like to know if you have any dietary restrictions, please let your server know and we'll take care of that. I'm just going to start a little bit and go through what we've been eating and then the next course, and then I'm going to introduce Dr. Genovares so you can all he'll talk to you about saving Greece one bottle at a time. Well, in Greece, we have everybody probably knows about tapas. This, in Greece, we call it mezeidaikia, and you can make an entire meal with mezeidaikia, and someday I might be tempted to do that, but this is a start. And the Greeks were doing that a long time ago, so we have a medley of Maidanos salata, that's the fresh chopped parsley with lemon and olive oil and a little bit of garlic. We have the mashed chickpeas, and that is with garlic and a little bit of onion. Did you want to talk? And we have the rengo salata, which is a direct steal from my good friend Aglaia Kremetzi from the island of Kea. I do a lot of homage to her. She is my Julia Childs of Greek cuisine, and as she wrote in her book, rengo salata is similar to taramo salata, but it's with the smoked, not mackerel, it's smoked herring. So that one we have, and then the third one was the elio salata, which is with our mashed olives, green and black, and a little bit of mint. I made the rustic, also I lifted it from her, but I touched it up a bit, her rustic bread that I'm working on and trying to perfect one symposia after the other. And then we have, as toast points, and we have that fire grilled with the pita, because we know people like that as well. So in any case, we started off with tetramithos, which I'm pretty sure Dr. Genovares will talk to us about. It is organically grown northern Peloponnesus. It's a single grape, Rhodites. It's a grape that was often, or still is often, used to make Retsina, the national beverage of Greece, which is also very healthy for you. I popped in a little bottle of Ravalas, which is one of my favorite wines from the island of Santorini. Again, it is from the, it's a single blend, it's a single grape. It is a Sirtico. It's vine. Roots reach over 100 feet deep into the volcanic soil. The island has about 0.4 inches of precipitation annually, so it's watered. It grows very low and coiled. Traditionally, it's coiled on the ground, and it is watered by the mist from the sea as it comes up and condenses in the morning coolness. So, and that's a really fine bottle. We went to the winery this summer, Kathleen and I, and we tasted it, and it was probably even a little bit better in Greece, but in any case. In any case, we're going to be clearing off those plates, and we're going to bring out the salad plate with kakavia. Kakavia is a soup. It's a fish soup, and it was got to be known in the world in Marseille, and it's also called, I think, bouillabaisse. But basically what kakavia is the fisherman's soup. All day long they'd be catching, and the little fish that they couldn't sell, or the ones that were too small or maybe got a little bit too old, they just throw in a boiling broth, and at the end of the day that was their meal. And they would thicken it with a paxamadi. The paxamadi is from Greece. It is a barley rusk, and you crunch it up and put it into your soup, and you determine the thickness of it. And you can also squeeze more lemon on that as well. So in that soup is shellfish, so people with shellfish restrictions need to be very careful. It's scallops and some lobster, some crab. It's halibut and cod. So it's not the scrawny fish of the day, that's for sure. But in any case, we're going to follow that with a salad from Peloponnesus, from Sparta, as a matter of fact, that my godmother introduced to us with a little bit more of a twist. It is the blood orange and feta and olive oil salad. We're going to serve it on a bed of fresh baby arugula. Please enjoy this, because with the California temperatures, the prices have skyjacked. I happened to source this last week, or you'd probably get 3 leaves on your plate. So arugula and all the greens are gone right now. So enjoy this last bit of greenery, fresh greenery, and that is with a lime orange salad dressing. We are going to be serving that with the Ninimos. That is a double blend grape, and it is Chardonnay, grown in Greece, northern Peloponnesos again by our friend Lavkiothi Winery, and Rhodites again, so you're going to meet the Rhodites grape twice. And at Moscophyllerol, thank you. I always question myself on that one. Moscophyllerol, which is another one of my favorite grapes. So it's Rhodites and Chardonnay and Moscophyllerol. Lipon, I'm going to have Dr. Genovares stand up. Everybody, please give him a hand. It's a great pleasure to welcome him. I have to tell you, he hosted us in Corinth. He introduced me to Jana Lavkiotis, and he is key responsible in getting us to have his wonderful wines here, all of which you'll be having tonight. Thank you, Doctor.
Thank you, Anna. Good evening. Καλησπέρα σας. I would like to thank you for being here. I'm really honored that you're here with us. I do recognize a few people here from the previous dinner we had. And welcome back.
I can't hear you.
Thank you. They cannot hear me. Okay. Again, good evening, Kalispera. My name is Basil Genovares. This is my wife, Linda. Very proud to be here and honored that you're here with us. Anna has asked me to make a few comments on the Greek financial crisis. I don't think it's only Greek, I think it's a global, worldwide crisis. But we're going to concentrate on the Greek crisis, some of the cause and effect, relationships, and what we should expect in the future. In addition to that, we're going to visit about our business, our importing of some premium Greek wines, which apparently you have already tasted, and I hope that you are going to appreciate and like what we do. Greece. Greece is like, the Greek democracy is like a bicycle. If you don't keep pedaling, you fall. I was born and raised in Greece, to be exact, in 1943, during the war and civil war. I left at the age of 19. I've been here since, primarily in the Midwest. So I consider myself a Midwesterner. In reality, Minnesotan, because I've been here since 1969. I've been a professor at Minnesota State for many years, also University of St. Thomas for about 10 years. My subject matter is that of international business, trade, in particular, international business management strategy, international marketing. So my presentation may have some overtones of my background and knowledge of the field of business, including international business. So come back to the Greek financial crisis. Again, I must say that it's not just a Greek financial crisis, it's a global crisis. It's a European crisis. It's a euro crisis. It's a dollar crisis. So we are in this crisis altogether. We're spending more than what we bring in. My wife and I were in business for 31 years. We had a small chain of better quality gifts and collectibles. I think these two folks from Anquero are familiar with our business. We had a couple stores in Anquero, Rochester, and Inner Prairie, Minnesota. This is a global economy. It's a global dynamic marketplace, highly interdependent. So Wall Street and Main Street, New York and Athens, Greece, or the remote village in Indonesia, or that of northern Salonika, where my friend Lazarus is from, is one and the same. The advances in telecommunications, transportation, the social media today brings us all together quite spontaneously and simultaneously. In terms of Greece, after the collapse of the dictatorship in 1974, Greece developed a parliamentary democracy which gave people three basic rights. One was to vote, two is to belong to a party, and three is to spend money which they did not have. But our friends from Northern Europe, for their own financial and of course greedy reasons, not unlike Wall Street, were quite willing to finance them, that is, lend money at very high interest rates, therefore capitalize on the poorer nations, countries of Southern Europe, and later on Central Eastern European countries, where Germany and France will borrow money at 1 or 2% from the Central European Bank and turn around and lend at 8, 10, 20%. That was not bad business for Mr. Merkel. Consequently, they paid for accessing Eastern Europe into the West. So now we have one Germany and one France, but we have a divided Europe. Europe of the North, Europe of the South, the haves and the have-nots of Europe. Not what we really have here in this country, possibly. So in my small apartment that Anna and Kathy have visited, 90% of my appliances are German-made. Those of my relatives in Greece are also have purchased appliances made in Germany, including my automobile, which is a Ford manufactured in Germany, is not exported to the US. So who really benefited the most out of this financial, so to speak, crisis? Were the wealthy countries of Europe. And rightfully so, they earned it. They work hard, they were well organized, quite dedicated. Unfortunately, the Mediterraneans possibly have a little different mindset, different culture. The Spaniards, the Italians, the Portuguese, the Greeks, versus their northern brethren, compared to those in Finland, for instance, where they have sun once every 3 months. In Greece, we have sun 365 days out of the year. Different mindset, different lifestyle, different way of thinking. Okay? Now, the Greeks overspend. The government did. And I must say, from the day I was born until today, we have had a few oligarchs in Greece who pretty much control politics and control the economy, and they still today. There are a few families, which is not uncommon really, whether it's in China or New York, who pretty much do the same. So there has been corruption, widespread corruption, at all levels of government. The two political parties which ruled Greece the last 40 years, the Socialist Democratic Party and the right-wing New Democracy Party, would stay in power by offering jobs to anyone who was looking for a position in the government, whether they were qualified or not. Consequently, what we have today is a very ineffective, very corrupt public sector. Public employees who really don't belong there. Out of, if I were President Lazarus and I had the power to hire and fire, 65% of the Greek public employees will go, including some of the my colleagues, professors at different universities in Greece, where I do go and lecture once in a while. So we have a corrupt public sector, a highly inefficient government apparatus, and it permeates the total structure. It's not easy to change. Not easy. At the same time, those Greeks who do work hard, who are very honest, who pay their taxes, are the ones who are suffering today. And that's the unfortunate thing. That's the unfortunate thing. And that may include some of the public employees. Some may include some of the business types, entrepreneurs, some of the wineries we do business with, who work very hard. They don't know what an 8-hour day is. They work 15 hours a day, 20 hours a day. And they're there to please you when you go there. They're there to wine you, dine you, entertain you with all their heart. Unfortunately, these are the people today in Greece who are paying for the abuses of the political, economic, social system, which was created to perpetuate itself. The 2% of the oligarchs, the elite, who live off the rest of the people. Would Europe allow Greece to get out of the euro, and for that matter, the European Union? Is it in their best interest? And my answer is no. No. If Greece were to get out of the euro, so would Spain, so would Portugal, and even Italy, which is the third largest economy in Europe, and possibly France, because the French debt is not as big as that of ours here in the States, which is $16 trillion now, and growing, unless we do something about it. But they have the same issues. Okay. So if Greece were to get out of the euro, that could conceivably bring about the collapse of not only the eurozone, the euro itself, but also the European Union. I recalled some 30 years ago, I was interviewed by public TV here in the Twin Cities. They asked me what my predictions were about Europe. And I back then I predicted that eventually it's going to be a United States of Europe. A United States of Europe, a federal republic. And in all honesty, I don't think the Europeans, if they're going to compete in the global economy, in a triad global economy, can survive or compete without doing exactly that. So instead of thinking like Germans or French or Greeks, they first and foremost must and should think as Europeans. That's the only way they can survive. That's the only way they can compete. Now, we may say the same thing about North America and eventually the rest of Latin America. Because ultimately, as I see it, there are going to be three major trading groups in the world which are going to dominate. North America, U.S. hopefully being the leader, Asia with China, and then, of course, there will be a United States of Europe, possibly with Germany being the leading economic power, but a European power, not a Germany, not a Nazi Germany, not a right-wing Germany, but a true democratic Germany, who cares not only about their own well-being, but that of the rest of Europe. Because not all Europeans are the same, but they should be thinking the same. Should have the same goals, the same objectives, the same mindsets. Otherwise, we may end up with who knows what, something unthinkable. Okay. What will happen in Greece? Well, they got a breather, they got another loan for $40 billion. Is that enough? No. I recall visiting with a couple senators in my state of Corinthia about 3 months ago. I do visit Greece three times a year, where I lecture a couple different universities, and then I visit wineries, and I love both. And I think for Greece to get out of this, look, you have a business. You have a revenue stream, you have sales, you have expenses. You may be effective or ineffective as a manager, businessman. In the final analysis of the day, you don't generate enough to pay the bills. So you have to go to the bank and tell the banker, like I told them, that's the best I can do under the circumstances. I'm not perfect. I could use your help. You lend the money. You made money. I tried. Didn't work. You pay, I pay. We both pay. Now think about it. You cannot be borrowing money to finance, that's Greece now, to finance the debt, while at the same time you are faced with 27% unemployment among the young college graduates, who, by the way, by the time they finish a four-year degree are trilingual, have traveled in more than one nation, middle-class parents who at the same time today are going broke, they are broke, okay? But they cannot find jobs. So the European Union, the central bank, the way it was structured, committed a number of errors itself, some strategic decisions made which way off base, okay? For instance, they did not have a fund, okay, which would help less fortunate nations to get out of a financial dilemma or crisis. They can only lend to governments rather than banks at very high interest rates. Now they establish a fund about $700 billion, which they plan to refinance, recapitalize the banks directly rather than the governments. In the meantime, the Europeans, including the Germans and the French, created the social welfare net, the social welfare system, okay, gave the unions tremendous power, signed some contracts that were incredible, almost guaranteed life employment, okay? So it makes it very difficult for an entrepreneur like you and I, provided we want to get or be in business, to start a business and stay in business. So really, who's going to pay for it? And remember, this is a Europe. This is a United States of Europe. It's not France, it's not France, it's not Germany, it's not Finland, it's not Netherlands. They tried once, they tried twice, they failed both times. I hope they don't try again, because they're going to fail again. And I will be there in front carrying the Greek and American flag with me. So the Greeks have to shape up. The Greeks in Greece. They got to clean up the mess.
They have to get back to work.
They have to clean up the mess, and they have to go to work and work smart. But there are those who do work hard. I have friends who do work hard, very hard. And they have a hard time making it today. Their pensions are cut, their salaries are cut by 20, 30, 40%. Some of them have no jobs. They became victims of the social welfare system of the PASOK, even the New Democracy Party. Both are liable and responsible for what has happened. Okay? And they have no way out. So what I decided to do to help them out, guess what? Import wine, right? And we decided to import some wines. Now, how we can help Greece, really, is not to send money I don't like the freebies, although I was a beneficiary of the Marshall Plan and Truman Plan back in the 40s as a young student. What we should do is open up markets for their goods and services, support them. Greece being a fabulous place to visit, as some of you know, I know, have been there. There's no place on earth to visit like Greece, and of course I'm a little biased. If you go to Santorini, you want to go back to Santorini. You want to have your second and third honeymoon in Santorini. If you go to one of the wineries where we bring the wines from, you do want to go back and bring your friends to those wineries and meet the people and sit down and break bread with these people. They're very hospitable, they're very friendly, they're very bright, they're very intelligent, they're very well educated. Most of them are trilingual. The only way you can tell an American from a Greek is that an American only speaks English. A Greek today...
Don't flatter them.
So about in two or three I decided to take a group of students with me, MBAs from University of St. Mary's, Minnesota State, to Greece twice a year, spring break and summer, and I did it for about 8 years. Well, during this time period, we visited companies, both U.S.-based subsidiaries, such as that of 3M. By the way, I used to do work for 3M. I was well-connected with 3M while I was doing my public seminars at the World Trade Center in St. Paul. So they would host our students at 3M Corporate Greece. We would visit Ford Greece. We would visit the big bank that you hear about often, HSBC's big bank out of Switzerland. Then, in addition to that, we will visit some Greek companies, including some of the wineries. So I became familiar with the people that own a couple of the wineries. I like their product. I like their honesty, integrity, hard work. And one day I said, look, I may be interested in importing your wines, because every time I came back, my friends will say, well, we love this wine. Can we have a bottle or two? Well, I used to lie to the U.S. Customs, you know, every time not really. They asked me, how many bottles of wine did you bring back with you? I said, a dozen. How many bottles of ouzo? I said, six. So they began to believe me. So, I said, look, guys, why don't we bring a pallet, and we, if we don't sell it, we drink it. And that's exactly what my wife and I did about 2 years ago. We, in fact, air freighted to start with 60 bottles. The cost of freight was $900. The cost of wine was free. Go figure, huh? That's what the world we live in today. Okay? So we brought in the wine. We tasted, we came here to Tijuana, a few other friends who know about wine like Anna, and they said, hey, we like this. It's priced right, it's good quality, and if you do bring it in, we'll support you. So Linda and I started to import and then distribute ourselves. And then about 3 months ago now, we turned it over to a wholesaler, Vinocopia, with 17 salespeople who cover the entire state. I'm going to stop here because I know you have questions. I'm open to any questions you might have. I'm a very open, somewhat controversial person. I like to argue. After all, I'm Greek, you know. Although I've been in Minnesota since 1969. I do have business cards. On the business card, I have all the brands of wine we do carry on the back. So if you need a card, I like to give you a card. Any questions, comments? Yes, sir.
What to do about Greece in the short term? What should we do? Well, what's, I mean,
yeah, yeah, good question. Good question. Yeah, 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 yeah. I don't think, yeah. What should we do about Greece? What should happen there? I have a couple of suggestions. One, there should be what they call a forgiveness of debt. There's no way Greece, given the prevailing political, economic, social conditions, can repay $240 billion in loans, or for that matter, finance the loans. Debt forgiveness, moratorium on debt, number one. Number two, if only 50% of debt is written off, they should give Greece 30 years to repay the debt, whether it's private or public debt, at 2 to 3% interest rates rather than 8 or 10% when those monies lended were borrowed at 1 or 2%. Now, some of that has been done already. So the Europeans, including Merkel, realize that the austerity measures are not working. They did not work in Argentina, they will not work in Greece. The International Monetary Fund, although has good intentions, oftentimes does not understand the local mindset. It's like a multinational company based in Minnesota with a presence in many countries around the world. And you have a CEO or CFO who has never been to Greece, doesn't understand how the mindset works. You can never succeed. You can never achieve your potential. So, right off. Give them time to repay the loans, okay, at low interest rates. Then, have some structural reforms within Greece. Corruption is number one. Tax evasion. Go after the big boys. I know them, my wife knows them, I have friends who I'm talking about, okay? They have a home over $1 million with a swimming pool, Olympic size. There's no home in Minnesota with a swimming pool that size, where the gardens alone are about $1 million. Never paid a dime in taxes. Happens to be a grade school friend of mine. Unfortunately, the gentleman came here to Minnesota, visited me twice, passed away a year ago from heart attack. He has two sons that I love. So we go after tax evaders, after corruption. There's one system of justice for all, not for the few. Okay. Now, they have to fund universities. They have to ensure they have to fund the healthcare system, and they have to provide for the infrastructure, including the environment. Greece can produce products that no other country, because of its unique climate, can really produce: veggies and fruit, and wines and olive oil. Okay, unfortunately, when the Greece, was the first country to rebel against the Ottoman Turks back in 1821. Greece was the only country who, southeast of Vienna, fought along the Yugoslavians, the Nazis. And we lost over from hunger and the civil war and the partisan war, over 150,000 people, okay? They have to invest in infrastructure, but they were unable to establish a manufacturing base. So they have to concentrate on tourism. That's number one industry. And then in shipping, Greece has the second, if not third largest commercial fleet in the world. So I will use an industrial targeted policy. I will take three industries and I will finance those industries to develop and offer job opportunities, because Greece is losing its brain. It's brain-based right now. It's knowledge-based. A number of Greeks are moving out of Greece. They're going to Germany, France, Australia, Canada, United States. There are no jobs. No jobs in Greece. So they got to keep the young, the brains within the country and offer some opportunity. Offer some opportunity. But without reducing the corruption, without going after the tax evaders, particularly there are about 24,000 of them, and we have the list. But the justice system is so corrupt, along with the politicians, that no one dares to say a word. So it's a cover-up. It's a conspiracy. Okay? If I say something, they say, well, you've been in the States too long. You don't know what you're talking about, Basil. Now, Lazarus will not say that, but my best Greek buddy will say that. You don't know what you're talking about. Of course I don't know. I mean, really, you know, right? Never paid diamond tax in your life. But that has to change. Greeks are funny. There are no other place, no other peoples like the Greeks. And that's an issue. That's a problem also. It's a plus and a minus. They're not Slavs. They're not Ottomans. They're not Russians. They're unique. But they're byproducts of all of that. Very dependent. Love liberty. Love freedom. But they don't love the state. They don't love the government. And ironically enough, paradoxically, is the state that offers a job, offers employment. And you have a social responsibility. You gotta pay the tax. You want infrastructure, you want roads, you want education. You want an infrastructure? Who's gonna pay for it? Oh, they don't feel that they should. It's weird. Is that gonna change overnight? And it's not going to happen by borrowing more money and financing the loans rather than developing the country, developing the infrastructure, providing jobs, investing in technology and education and health. We're paying the interest still. So the money that Greece borrows goes back to the Central Eastern European Bank, the Germans and the French. That's where the money goes. Well, at the same time, we're still buying their goods because we don't manufacture anything of our own. The Greek kids today, as I said, they're multilingual. They don't want to work in factories. They don't want to get their hands dirty. You had a question.
Well, it just sounds like you're talking about the world when you're talking about the
that you would see shipping and
tourism,
and what was the third one?
Shipping, tourism, I think the services.
Services?
Yes, services, high-tech.
High-tech services, uh-huh, okay. But I was also saying that it sounds like when you're describing Greece and their problems, that it's the same problems we have and the same problems around the world. Yeah, that they're just, in a smaller proportion.
So the comment this lady made is the problem I described as far as Greece goes is not just a Greek problem, which is true, and I believe that. It's also a world problem, and it's our problem. We all know that. Unless we put a cap on spending this country, we got a problem, major one. And I'm not talking politics, Republicans or Democrats. I think we have to think as Americans first, and then politics. No, we have to do what's good for America. And the Greeks have to do what's good for Greece, but at the same time, the Europeans got to do what's best for Europe in relation to the rest of the world and their trading partners. For instance, they are keeping the euro artificially high. In order for me to bring the wine in, I have to pay $1.40 to buy the euro to pay for the wine. Now, why would they keep the euro artificially high? Countries like Greece, which cannot compete, cannot export at prices which, okay, will allow me to offer you a bottle of wine at a price similar to that of, let's say, Argentina or Chile. Okay, but again, the special interest groups, the oligarchs, like the strong euro because they have large investments in euros. They have bonds in euros. They have stocks in euros. They have their holdings in Swiss banks in euros. That's why. And you're not paying for it. The legal system in Greece, the legal system, including contracts, it's a labyrinth. It's very complicated. It's very cumbersome. And in fact, it's very time consuming. There is an index, the ease of doing business index, and Greece rates among the lowest countries, that is high level degree of difficulty in starting a business and in fact operating a business and being able to make a living in Greece in business. So why would a U.S. investor or somebody like me go there and invest or start a business unless the laws do change? And I do hope that they do. I mean, just to get a license may take you 3-6 months a year, and in fact, you may have to bribe somebody because I have done it through a third party in a white envelope. And I hate to tell you and admit it, but that's how it is. In order to get a birth certificate, may take you, like I did, I tried to because the original birth certificate I received was wrong, and I tried to change that. I had to bribe somebody to get a birth certificate. Hello. Okay. So it's a different world. And remember, all business, including global business, is local. You have to be locally connected. You have to be networked at the local level. Even where you travel, okay, you have to have a good travel agent, or you have to know somebody at the local level who understands what's going on. Yes, sir. Well, America may be going the way Greece. Well, any country could be going the way Greece went. If we continue to spend, right, without reducing the entitlements, without generating wealth, without manufacturing this country, because we exported our manufacturing base and technology to China, period. Unless we bring it back and we begin to reinvest in America and make products as good as the Chinese at a competitive price, okay, we're not going to be the leader, the global leader we have been the last half a century or so. Any country could go the Greek way, absolutely. You continue to spend? How long can you go spending? You break the bike, you know, yeah. Anybody else a comment? Yes, sir.
All right, you are a teacher in Thessalonica.
Yes, sir.
You teach a graduate course.
Yes.
I'm seriously booked.
Yeah.
Mind if you're doing one in America. I'd like to attend or at least audit a course that you're teaching. Is it going to happen?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Well, I'm on my way to Prague. I do a course at the Economics University of Prague in February and one course at the University of Athens in March. So I would love to have you come with me And in fact, I have a place for you to stay. The only course I teach here now, because I'm retiring in May, is an export administration course, which is offered online. My last course here, I taught, was an MBA course about 2 years ago. It was in Edina, because Minnesota State has a campus in Edina where we offer the MBA. And I did a global marketing management course, MBA in Edina. But thank you. I think if Anna organizes a group like you, we can do a course. We got to talk to Anna. We can do it on a cruise.
quick story.
Of course, that's the unfortunate thing. That's very unfortunate. Yeah. Now, anybody else, please? Any other questions? Thank you. Appreciate it.
Okay, thank you, Vasily. That was one of the longest and most detailed conversations we've had, and I think a lot of people have been very surprised at your knowledge. That's wonderful. Okay, now while you eat your second course, I'm going to talk a little bit about the wine we're serving. This is duck, papia. And I, you know, when I was making the menu, because I do that a month or so ago, Sandy and Jay were here, and I asked them, I said, should we do pheasant, rabbit, or duck? And Sandy said, let's do duck. So the duck is here tonight because of Sandy, chiefly. And it is... duck is not what you typically find, but it is a style that they make it in Greece, and that's oven roasted. It's with sweet potatoes, leeks, shallots, and craisins, okay? And there's, pomegranate syrup and olive oil. So hopefully it'll be moist and yummy. We are serving that with a Nemea wine. Please help me out, Linda. This is a single, oh, I know what this one is. This is the Ayuritiko, a single grape, and it is Nemea. Mm-hmm. It's a single grape, and it is in new French oak, correct? No, it's oaked for a year, and it's oaked for a year. I once did an 11 wine tasting of Ayuritiko wines, starting with the freshest Ayuritiko grape and going all the way to Ayuritiko in New French Oak for 18 months. It was amazing. Every style was very different, and it was an eye-opener at the versatility of this wonderful Ayuritiko grape, which is also known as the St. George grape. Following that, we're going to have the lamb and scarlet red runner beans, which is my friend here at the bar has provided them with us. I've been trying to source scarlet red runner beans. They are meaty and delicious, and it's with lamb shoulder braised with marjoram and diced fresh tomatoes. So that would be something that we found on Thassos Island when we were up there. I was very excited to find that, in fact, these runner beans are indigenous to Greece as well. So that is really all I'm going to talk about right now. Dr. Vasilis is finishing up his second course, and he's going to talk to you more directly about the wine. Please make sure you have a clean plate if you like. And Lazarus wants to say something. Okay, say it really loud. Rawr, 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 rawr. Kaliorexi. Pes kaliorexi. Kaliorexi, we say. Bon appetit.
I hope you are enjoying the meal and the wines. Let me also say that Anna is probably one of the best ambassadors of Greece, not only in Minnesota, but possibly in the Midwest, USA. I have met Anna with some... Anna is also a great American and a proud American. I've met with Anna in Greece. We have partied together, and we had with her group, and we truly had a wonderful time. little bit about the wines. Greece, unlike France and Italy, is actually, believe it or not, new in the wine business, although most of the grapes, of Italian grapes and even some of the French grapes, trace their origins to Greece, and prior to that to Caucasus and Mesopotamia. But let me tell you a little bit about the Greek grapes and the Greek wines. The wines we bring in from the region of Nemea. The region of Nemea is the largest red grape producing region of Greece. The so-called Agiorgitico grape, or St. George. There are seven villages. There are seven villages in Nemea. The largest village in the region of Nemea, the largest village is the city, the new city of Nemea. Now, those of you who have studied Greek mythology, Nemea goes back to Homer, or prehistoric times, in fact. Professor Miller, UCLA archaeologist, discovered the ancient city of Nemea, the stadium of Nemea, where the Nemean Games were held every 2 years, unlike Olympia, where games were held every 4 years. And also the temple and the old city of Nemea. And every 4 years, we hold the Nemean Games. And if you ever have a chance to, if you have not been to an ancient stadium, forget this twin stuff and the Viking stuff and gopher stadiums. No, no. You want to be closer to nature, where deities are, whether it's Zeus or Buddha. And you really feel like you're part of the universe, you're part of nature when you visit these places. Okay? So, Nemea, the home of Hercules. Some of you may remember from your Greek mythology, the only place where the ancient Greeks dedicated a temple to Hercules is right there, the Lion of Nemea, which was destroying the fields and et cetera, raising havoc. So there are seven villages, about 30,000 acres, 3,000 farmers, 17 wineries, a large co-op. One of the wineries is out of Lafkotis. The Lafkotis winery was started by three brothers. The key person was Kostas Lafkotis, who is still alive, about 60 years ago. They make some of the best St. George red wines anywhere in the world, not just Greece. Because I think the Greek wines can compete with the best French wines and the best Italian, the best anywhere in the world. They're just not as well known as the French and the Italian wines. Am I right, Lazarus? But there will be someday. The climate in Greece, the conditions are incredible. You don't find a climate like the Greek climate where these grapes grow. Most of these grapes grow over 600 to 700 meters above sea level. They're limited edition wines. Most of them are aged for a year in the barrel and a year in the bottle. Like the wine you're drinking now, the Nemea wine, St. George grape, or Agiorgitico, is aged a year in a French barrel and a year in the bottle. When you visit Nemea, it's an unforgettable sight. And you will see the valley, and then on the slopes, you're going to see the vineyards. And if you're there during the harvest, it's an incredible experience. We have been at 700 meters where the harvest occurs. Then we take the grapes out of the winery where the wine, where the grapes are then distilled and the wine is made. Okay? And then you drank the tetramethos, the organic wines. The organic wines, the grapes for the wines grow over 800 meters above sea level. Forget California and Florida. You're in a different world now. Okay? You're up in the mountains. These are small vineyards. Okay? So these are limited production, limited edition wines. They're not mass-produced stuff. And the organic wines, they use no chemicals in raising the grapes. Now I gotta tell you a bit about Santorini. Santorini, Bob, Santorini. How many of you have been to Greece? Let's see. How many of you have been to Greece? Greece. Okay, wonderful. How many of you have been to Santorini? If you have not been to Santorini, please do so before you go. I mean, before you travel elsewhere. Go to Santorini and go to Nemea. And before you go, ask me for my phone or business card. I have one. And I will line you up with the people and the wineries if you like. So you can visit, okay? Because you're going to love the people. Most importantly, you're going to love the product. And you're going to have a good time. Unforgettable. But the Santorini wines are unique in the world. There's no place on earth like Santorini. Nowhere in the world like Santorini. And they grow grapes in a basket. Looks like a basket. They train the vineyards so they grow like a basket, and then grapes grow within the basket. In Santorini, only rains once or twice a year. There is no moisture. So the grapevine roots are about 20, 30 yards down. That's how they survive. And that's why the Santorini wines are unique and quite, they're more expensive than most other wine, Greek wines because of limited production, but also the quality. They never had, Santorini grapes never suffer from xylophyta or disease the last 2,000 years because of the climate. It's very dry. It's very volcanic. We hope that you are enjoying your meal and you, the great Greek wines. And eventually, as I told Lazarus, we're going to bring some wines from the northern part of Greece, from Alexandria's country, where they also make some excellent wines. Excellent wines from the northern part. Absolutely. Different wines, different grapes. And what's rather unique about Greece? Every other mile looks different than the previous one. Looks very different. It's not like driving through the cornfields of Nebraska or Iowa. Forget that altogether. It's a different topography. You're in a different world, and it's a wonderful world to be in. And everywhere you stop, somebody's going to offer you a glass of wine or invite you to their house for a drink, even a drink of water, although there's no water, only wine. Water is expensive. If you have any questions on the wines, please let me know. Let us know. Thank you.
We are going to have now the chocolate chestnut cake. When we were in Greece in Volos, they were hanging from the trees like spiky tennis balls. It was fantastic, and we were all saying, oh, if we could only gather a bag and bring it home, it would have been fantastic. But Volos in northern Greece is full of chestnuts. Chestnuts are a staple that was all across the world, and then in the 1940s or 50s, I think it was, there was a blight, and all the chestnut trees died. They're making a comeback. And I hope you all enjoy them because chestnuts are very versatile. They go savory, they go sweet, and they're lovely. So we're having a chocolate chestnut cake with a yogurt mousse. We're going to follow it with tawny Cleoni. Cleoni is a semi-sweet dessert wine. Linda, it is the what grape? The tawny. It's a Burgundy grape. So, and then we're going to do it with Greek coffee. Now, Greek coffee, for those of you who don't know, is a lighter bean. It has a lighter roast on it. And then it's pulverized. I mean, it's pressed to get the acid out. and then we roast it to a light roast, and then we boil it together with sugar and water. So a lot of people are not used. I'm a huge French roast drinker, but we're not used to a lighter roast, which almost tastes like chocolate. It's not chocolate. We don't put chocolate in. We put some organic sugar in, and we don't drink the mud unless you want to stay up all night, and that's another story. So that will wind up our menu tonight. Thank you so much for coming. And I want to say next symposium, the 22nd, will be the Honeyman, February 20th. And we'll be drinking mead. And we'll have, he'll be back. He's promised to come back. He kind of stood us up last time, but he'll be back. And everything will have honey in it. And that will be for Valentine's. In the meantime, we're also doing February 2nd, the Smooch Project. I don't know how many people know about Smooch. Smooch is making the world a better place, about love, about forgiveness, and it's about healing. And so we'll have a smooch shot here to get the Smooch Project to Bangladesh. She's trying to collect 10,000 photos of people kissing. So the Gardens of Salonika will be providing complimentary appetizers, half off wine, and it's from 11 o'clock to 8 o'clock at night. And you can bring your friends. The suggested donation is $20 a couple, $10 for additional. And you feel free to give as much as you like. So that's the Smooch Project, and the next symposium is February 20th. I'd like to thank Edie and Paul, who's next door, for podcasting us. So if you've enjoyed tonight and you want to remember what foods we had and talk about, you can always relive those. Check it out. It's on the website at gardensofsalonika.com. Edie is from is CEO, I believe, of iDream TV, and Paul is her husband, and he listens to her, and that's wonderful. We like that. Let's give them a hand. I'd also finally like to thank my wonderful staff, because it was a big handful today. Staff. And in the kitchen, they're going to eat really well tonight. And so now, as the cake is coming out, and Alex came in and helped at the last minute. Thank you, Alex. Alex has sat at the symposium tables, and he's like, "Mom, he's like, I just want to help in the kitchen and get to eat as much as possible." So I'm going to turn this back over to Dr. Genovares, and if you have any questions or any comments, that he will answer them. And I want to thank everybody again for a lovely evening, and I hope to see you again soon at another symposium.
Again, I'd like to truly thank you, and I'm honored that you came, and I hope that we can meet again somewhere, if not here in Greece, or hopefully here again. And I thank you, and if you do need a business card, please, I do have a few left. I can give you a business card. And I thank you, and I do enjoy your Greek wines, and I hope you have a chance to visit Greece, and if you do, give me a call. If I can help you with your trips or plans. Sure.